Hello, everyone, and welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Today, we're going to talk about retirement and preparing properly for retirement. This is a massive life event for anybody, and it is something that the earlier you prepare for it, the better. So it doesn't matter what age you are, the earlier you see this sort of information, the earlier you can prepare the pathway for your own successful retirement. Now, as a financial planning organization, what is fascinating about our work is you start to learn and observe that life happens and then the money comes in afterwards. So there'll be people looking at this webinar and they've gone through the very traumatic experience of being retrenched. Others, families will have been through some very serious illness and come through the other side. Everyone has experienced death, whether that be your grandparents, your parents, or the horror of something happening in your direct family. If the statistics are right, 50% of us are going to experience divorce directly. And the last life transition, but it's not the last, but another life transition, and the one that we're going to discuss the most today is retirement. And it is just a life transition. And we've observed that there's probably something like 80 life transitions that we will face somewhere along the line. What we're hoping to do today for you is to give you a framework for decision making around retirement. And in doing this, the way we do it is to try and speak through people because the concepts that we're trying to get across to you, it's easier to understand if we talk through people. So the two guys that we're going to talk about today are Tom and Kaya, and they're both the same age. They both earn the same amount of money. They are shareholders in a business together, and they often have joked over the years, and they've been in business for like 35 years, and they often joke when they're socially of saying, listen, if you retire, I'm retiring because I can't do this without you. Your skill set, I'd be lost without you. So it's been a great partnership over a very long period of time. And around 30 years ago, they met the top salesperson from some insurance company, and they came to them separately and got them to invest in retirement annuities. They've met the person probably around three times over the years, and the last meeting was around 6 months ago, and they both met with him separately. And the meeting apparently ran exactly the same way. And at exactly the same point in the meeting where they were handed their values, their current values of their retirement annuities, they were both horrified at how low the number actually was. And they thought to themselves, well, shoo, I'm in trouble here because this amount of money is not going to be enough. Now, luckily for them, they have always believed that this business that they ran had a capital value and that one day, as they retired, they would sell the business. And currently, the private equity people are in their industry and they're buying up their competitors. And they've heard that the valuations that the private equity companies are paying is actually very attractive and maybe even verging on ridiculously high. So up to now, they haven't been considering because they thought that they were too young to think about retirement. But when they've looked at their own personal retirement and financial situations, they're now leaning into this deal. And that's when they came to chat to us at Veritas to say, well, how much do we need to get from this deal? And what you are going to see as this presentation goes on is that these two people, although they look very similar and seem similar, they're actually very different. And the outcomes for both of them are quite different. When we're giving advice around retirement, we always, in the back of our minds, I don't think we explicitly ask three questions. But there are three questions that we need answering as we go along. And they come from a guy, an American guy called Mitch Anthony, who's a wonderful author from the United States. And when he talks about retirement, he says you have to answer three questions. The first question is, have you had enough? Like, but really, have you really had enough? Are you really ready to retire? So we turn and we ask Tom and we say, hey, Tom, like, are you ready? And he goes, look, I'm tired. I'm stressed. I'm anxious. I've even suffered from shingles. And I know it is directly related to the work that I'm doing. So I'm ready to move on. When we sat down with Kaya, Kaya turned around and goes, well, actually, do you know what? I'm not stressed, but I'm bored. I've been doing the same thing for 30 years. And there's nothing that comes across my desk that I haven't seen before. And, you know, I've got other interests and a lot of my friends have retired now. And I'd really rather move on. So as a financial planner, we're looking at this kind of going, well, sounds to us like that they've had enough and they may well be ready to retire. So we move on to the second question, which is, do I have enough? And what we mean by this is, have you sat down and with your spouse to work out what is the life that you're going to lead if you do retire? So how much is it going to cost you to live? Where are you going to live? What cars are you going to drive? What holidays are you going to go on? Is there further education for your kids or for yourselves? Is there other weddings and other family things like that? Are you going to help grandchildren be educated? And this is where you would sit down with a financial planner, and a good financial planner would work with you and work out mathematically whether you do have enough or not. The third question is, have you got enough to do when you retire? Now, over the last 15 years, we at Veritas have been having this conversation with our clients. And there are five areas where we think that people need to focus on. And this is very important for younger people that are looking at this webinar. The first is, am I connected to people that give me energy or I give them energy? And there's the opposite to that, which is people who are draining you, you should really be putting a bit of distance between you and them. The second, curiosity. Is there something where you are activities that you do with your brain that when you're doing them, you go into the state of flow and you don't even notice that the time is passing by, but you're using your brain power? Or have you got some physical activity, whether that is walking or in the gym or yoga or Pilates or whatever it is? But is there something that you are helping to keep your body physically strong? Are you doing anything creative, whether that's music, whether that's art, whether that's writing or whatever form of art would take your fancy? And the last one is, are you doing any form of charity work, giving back into your community? Now, we've been doing this and having these conversations for 15 years or so. And what we have found is that most people, the most balanced people that we have come across, have four of these that they are using all of the time. And it's either creativity or charity that is the one that has been left out. And then we would encourage people to try and fill that space as well. So it's very important that you, whoever is giving you advice, understands as much as possible about your background. And Tom, he's driven, he's hardworking. He's got two kids. They went to private school and they're now at university. And he believes that they will both be at university for four more years. He's always lived in a nice home and drives nice cars. And it's quite interesting. The more you speak to him, you realize that he doesn't really have interests outside of work. But he's a very, very committed dad to his two boys. Kaya, and as we said, he's stressed and he's tired and he's anxious. Now, Kaya is a different character. He is easygoing and he's amiable. He has got loads of different activities that he's involved in, cycling, walking. He's taken up a musical instrument. He's got many others that he's got lots of different groups that he hangs around with. He's got one kid and that kid is very sporty. And he spends a huge amount of time following and supporting, in every sense of the word, that kid as they go along. But he has said to us, listen, I've got a whole bunch of guys, friends of mine, that have retired, and they're encouraging me to retire. They're saying they love it. They're not bored at all. And they're encouraging him, saying, hey, come, you can come play paddle with us, or you can come play golf with us. We, the advisors, they're just worried that there's a bit of self-interest in there and they just need a four ball. They need to complete a four ball. But hopefully they've got his best interests at heart as they're calling on him to do that. And as we mentioned, he said he's bored and he actually wants to move on and pursue some of these other interests that he has. Now we're going to enter the financial world of around retirement. And Tom, in his preparation, has read a Warren Buffett book. And in the book, Warren Buffett is very famous for one-liners, brilliant one-liners, near impossible to implement most of them. So Tom comes with the one-liner from one of Warren Buffett's books, and it says, rule number one, never lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Anyway, Tom is on a telephone, he phones up, or is talking to either a financial advisor, or he's phoned up a call center, a financial services company. And you must remember now, once you start that, you have entered a very litigious area. So these institutions and companies are very nervous about how they are interacting with you and need to record what has been said and how they came to make decisions. Tom can't help himself and he uses his Warren Buffett line and he said, that's my principle. I like that principle. Not knowing that the person in the financial services company is now trying to build up a record of what his risk profile actually is. Now, that statement is a very strong statement and that would direct the consultant, any consultant, to assume that Tom is a conservative investor. So the way in which he's answered the risk question is determining the asset allocation, or it's a very fancy term for the fund that they would choose or mandate they would choose. So they're now going to choose a conservative mandate. The business is done. Tom is delighted. He's got his Warren Buffett quote off his chest and he's used it. He's implemented, he's invested his money. The consultant is delighted. They have finished up the deal. They have recorded his statements around risk. And the compliance officer is also delighted within the company. Phone goes down. Everyone carries on with their life. But 10 years later, a conservative investment is going to give you a lower rate of return than you could otherwise get. 20 to 30 years from now, that is going to have a significant effect on Tom's lifestyle. Now, we think that this is fundamentally flawed. Okay. The problem is every compliance officer is happy with this. Even worse, every regulator around the world is even happy with this. In fact, in some areas and jurisdictions, they will actually force you to do this. But it is flawed. And I'm going to show you as we go along, how it is flawed practically. The best financial planners in the world are using a concept called lifestyle financial planning, or something. There are lots of other different names for it, but it is this process. And the process is, it starts with you and your lifestyle. So the nice bit of it is, for most people, is you don't have to know anything about tax. You don't know anything about investments. You don't know anything about financial products. You don't need any of that. What you need to do is you need to tell a financial planner the life that you want to lead. So I think I've gone through them already, but how much does it cost you to live? You know, what holidays you want to go on, what cars you want to drive, where are the kids going to be educated, etc. They will then use a financial planning calculator here, and that will tell them what rate of return do you need to achieve to live that life. That rate of return will guide the financial planner to tell them what asset allocation you need to have. So if you need, can you afford a stable fund or to beat, we always in our firm, we talk about beating inflation, beat inflation by 2%, or do you need to beat inflation by 4 or 5%? In the unit trust world, that is, do I need a stable fund or could I be in a balanced fund, as an example? Now, there's a lot of noise in the financial services industry. It's very confusing, and it's very hard to work out what you really need to watch out for. It's very important to understand your real enemy. And the problem is here, when you retire, you only have one real enemy, and it's quite a dangerous one because it's silent. So your enemy is not volatility, the fact that your statements are going up and down or your values are going up and down on a monthly basis, a quarterly basis. That's not your problem. The fees are, within reason, not the problem. And the tax that you will pay is also not the problem. All of these need to be considered. They need to be brought into your decision making, and then they need to be suppressed as best as you possibly can. Your real enemy is inflation. Okay. And let me put that in layman's terms. That is your ability, your purchasing power going forward into the future. So 20 years ago, you went to Woolworths, you had R1,000 probably in cash 20 years ago, you stuck it in your pocket, you pushed your metal trolley from the car park into the store. And at the end of it, you walked out of the store full of goods, hanging over the sides, full of plastic bags, and you pushed your trolley back to your car in the car park. Today, you collect your plastic trolley, you get your recycled bags, if you remember, which I never do, to take them to the shops, and you will with R1,000, maybe fill 2 or 3 of these bags. And it's only the base of the basket that will actually be full. If you wanted to fill the basket, you probably will need to hope that the toilet paper bales are on special, because that's probably the only way you're going to fill this basket. So what that is showing is that if you do nothing and you don't watch out for inflation, inflation is going to kill your and eat away at your purchasing power over time. Inflation is your enemy. Okay, let's go and meet Tom and Kaya again. And let's see them. They have now described their lifestyle, and we're now using a financial planning calculator. Okay, so they have both got R4 million in retirement annuities, R3 million in unit trusts. They have got, through the deal, they've got R8 million after tax. We're not going to go into the deal and how they got to that, but that was helpful for them to know that they needed R8 million. In Tom's case, he has got a property of R9 million, but unusually, at a 59, he still has a bond of R1 million. Okay, so the banks are going to call in that, and he's going to have to pay that back rather quickly now before he gets to the age of 65. As part of the deal, they will both have to work for another 2 years. And Tom's wife, Jane, is going to retire the same time as him, and she will carry on working and earning $30,000 before tax. They have done a detailed expenses, and they've looked back over history, and they think that their day-to-day expenses are R50,000 a month. And when they get to the age of 65 and the two boys have hopefully moved off and stopped eating them out of house and home, they think that their expenses will drop down to R40,000 a month. They've got two boys. We're assuming, they guess that it costs R200,000 each to be at university. Two kids, so that's R400,000 a year for 4 years. Okay. They want to go on overseas holidays for R100,000. They wanted to go every year, but actually we had to pare that back, and they are now going to go every second year. They like cars. They wanted to change their cars every after trade-in. They wanted to pay $700 and $400 in today's money. They wanted to do it every 5 years, and we've said no, you actually need to push that out, and it's now going to be done every 7 years. Okay, now let's remember, Tom is the guy who read the Warren Buffett book, and Tom is the guy who is anxious, and Tom is considered a conservative investor. So what we do is we model his lifestyle, and we see how he would do against a CPI plus two return, or a conservative return, or let's call it like a stable fund. Okay, so here, Tom, if he tells the consultant that, Tom is going to run out of money at the age of 82. Now that is a problem, and that is why risk profiling is fundamentally flawed. He is not being aggressive enough in how he's investing his money. So we leave his lifestyle exactly the same, and we say, Tom, you need to invest at a higher rate of return. So we do that, and we try and beat inflation by around 4 or 5%. And now suddenly Tom's money lasts till he's age 99, which is great. But I want to show you something else. I told you inflation was the enemy. So if we strip inflation out of this and we look at his purchasing power, what is his real purchasing power to get the money to last to the age of 99? And that's what it really looks like. Here, you are looking at his statements where it shows that he's doing extremely well going into his 90s, but in actual fact, his purchasing power has been on the slide all the way along. Now we move on to Kaya. Kaya's got the same retirement annuity. He's got the same unit trusts. He's got the same amount of money coming out of the deal. He lives in a more modest home, and he has got no bond hanging over him. He will earn the same 2-year earnout. And his wife says, do you know what? He might want to retire. I don't want to retire. I love what I do. I'm going to carry on working for another 10 years here. I'm not hanging around at home with him. I'm sticking at work. And their expenses, they worked it out that they're 40,000 rand a month at the moment. You'll remember they had one child. That child has got one more year of third level left, and that'll cost 150,000 rand. They bought two cars a year ago. So what's happened is that they think that they will drive those cars for another 9 years, and then they will go down to one car. And after trading of their other two, they would buy in for 400,000 rand in today's money. They love to camp. They love to keep it kind of simple on their holidays, and they will spend 60,000 rand a year on their holidays. So what we do is we say, okay, well, let's see what the minimum rate of return is for Kaya. And what you see is that Kaya runs until age 95 on CPI plus two. So basically, he nearly makes it on this conservative investment. So we leave the lifestyle the same. It's a little bit short. We, as his advisor, would say, Kaya, listen, it's a very long-term thing, a long-term time frame. I think that you should invest and try and beat CPI plus four or five. So he says, okay, well, let's have a look. What does that look like? And it's quite an extraordinary thing. Now, what this graph represents is are two things. One is that the power of compound interest, mainly, and it also shows you the power of living within your means. Okay, so they're the two things that are palpable in this. But what is fascinating is that although this graph looks amazing and they're unbelievable numbers, his purchasing power is, he's actually just maintaining his purchasing power over time. Now, there aren't that many people who actually have this, that where they can maintain their purchasing power all the way through. Most people have a gradual decline in their purchasing power as we go along. Okay, so let's go back to our framework again. Okay, so you decide on your lifestyle. You're completely in control of this, as you've seen. You sit down and you work out with a financial planning calculator. You and the advisor work out that this is the rate of return as a minimum that you need to achieve. So, and this will guide the financial planner as to what the makeup of the portfolio will be. Asset allocation is just a fancy term for what is the mandate that we're actually going to give these investments. Do we need CPI plus 2 or do we need CPI plus 4 or 5? Okay. And then the last bit, which we'll get to now, is we need to check the risks. Okay. If for whatever reason you're not comfortable with the risks and you say, no, I'm like Tom might turn around and go, no, I'm not comfortable with that. No problem, Tom and Jane. Let's have a look at your lifestyle again. And why don't you make some decisions around that and maybe pare back and have some trade-offs in that area? And then we start this whole process again. Okay. But let's look at the risks as they are now. So we're looking at CPI plus 2. This is a conservative investment. What you'll see here is if you invest the money and you're unbelievably lucky, you will get a 22% return. If you're unbelievably unlucky, you'll get a minus 4% return. Okay. It can go outside of these frames, but this is showing a 95% probability that you will be inside these. CPI plus 2 is 6 plus 2, which is 8, and that runs through the middle. So you'll notice that the longer you go out, if you look 15, 20, 30 years, which is when how long you're going to live for and be retired for, your returns are actually quite certain. So you don't need to jump around once you're in the right mandate. But what we do tell people is the recommended time period for a conservative rate of return is 3 years. We think we'll be close to hitting the target at that point. If you went to beat inflation by 4 or 5% over time, then the bands get bigger because we put more shares into the portfolio. You could get lucky and get in right at the bottom. Maybe it was COVID and you bought in, you would get an amazing return if you bought in at the bottom of COVID, as an example. You could buy in a year before COVID came, and then in that annual review, in that 1 year, you could be down 19%. So as an example, if you invested 1 million rand, you'd have 810,000 rand in your portfolio at that time. The job of a financial planner at that point is to make sure that you're resilient and that you stick to the plan, because this thing is coming back. You don't know when it's going to come back. You don't know why it's going to come back, but you just know it is going to come back and the value will be put back into these assets over time. The recommended time period here is around 7 years that we will achieve return that we set out to achieve. It's not a guarantee that you would do this. And very importantly, this is a little bit like the 7 years and the 3 years in the other portfolio are a little bit like if you're baking a cake. I don't know much about baking cakes. I do love to eat them. But when you put the cake in the oven, they say that you shouldn't really open the oven until this cake is ready. Okay, so you don't want to disturb it and poke around at this thing. It will do its thing on its own over time. Okay, so ranges of returns. And this, to us, is the right way of showing you what the risks are and showing you, excuse me, the journey that you're going to go on before you invest. So what is retirement? It is a very big tax date. But that's pretty much it. And it's a tax date because money moves from pension funds and accumulating vehicles into pension that pay out money to you. It's not actually a very big investment date because you can, once you know what your target rate of return is, you might just change vehicle, but you won't change your investment strategy and your investment mandate. And it doesn't have to be, retirement doesn't have to be a specific date. You don't have to go cold turkey and completely retire. You can partially retire. You can consult back into your company or your industry. You can mentor people and get paid for that mentoring. You can start a side hustle without putting too much money into it and have something else that also pays you some money and gives you an income. I think what you'll see and what we're hoping to point out is you need to think about how you are approaching retirement, and you must think about it as a couple. Okay, it's very important you get your significant other and you have a conversation with them as to how you are going to approach retirement. And the longer and the more thought that goes into it, the better. And remember, for those busy executives looking at this, you have got blind spots and you need to allow your partner to be very honest with you to say what they think will work for you or not. It is, and don't ignore it, it is a massive life-changing event, not just for you, but also for your partner. If you have a stay-at-home, your partner is a stay-at-home person, and you are now retiring as a busy executive, you are about to change their lives. A very happy life, hopefully, up to now. So you need to respect that, and you need to approach it carefully. And as we've mentioned and gone through quite well, I think, is that inflation is your enemy and keep it front and center the whole time. Now, if you do this, we think that you will get a sense of understanding and a sense of control over your affairs, and that will allow you to sleep well at night. Your job, though, and this is where you need to spend a lot of time and with your partner on this, is do I have the purpose to get out of bed in the morning? And you need to really, really consider this because people have heart attacks. They get very anxious. They get depressed immediately after, after the initial bucket list. Suddenly, people it starts hitting home as to how big a change retirement is to them. So it needs to be considered and not taken lightly. And we would encourage you, and that's why we're saying for younger people to think about this, is don't fall into retirement. Don't let retirement be an accident. Kind of walk into it with purpose. And if you can, control it as best you can. Because in Tom and Kaya's case, they are, they might be forced into retirement rather than actually controlling it and selling it it was the right time for them. So I hope that was useful. I hope it's thought-provoking. I think it's surprising how much it has to less to do with financials and tax and vehicles and products and stuff like that. And it's got much more to do with your life and what you're going to do in retirement. I hope it was of use to you, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Thank you very much for listening in today.